This is the Kimmick Podcast. I'm Kim.
And I'm Michaela.
We're doing All Dressed Up with Tattoos.
Ooh.
Tattoos. Tattoos. Boy, it's taken forever to get this one out. We had Easter or the Shamrock Easter. I don't know what all has happened.
It's been a minute.
Granddaughter was sick. Like, sick for days.
It's been a minute. One thing after another.
You know, the moment I say... this week.
Don't ever say this.
I got to stop saying that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're here. Yay!
We are here. We are back. And we are all dressed up with tattoos.
It's kind of cool because I ended up getting my tattoo touched up this week. Well, not this week. 2 weeks ago now. I guess it's been
a week.
And no, it's actually will be 2 weeks Wednesday.
Wow.
That's how fast time goes. She got a tattoo on her elbow.
Yeah, that was like months ago.
But that was a lot sooner than I've had one. So I hadn't been in there for a long time to have any work done. So it was so nice to get back. I guess you either like it or you don't like it, but we really enjoy getting them. If they weren't so expensive, I'd be in there more often.
Exactly. I love getting tattooed. I think most tattooed people agree.
I don't know. Unless you do something like crazy, one of those crazy nights that you drank too much and you got a tattoo, you know. It was a really, really messed up week. You know, one of those 7 days of torture. Seven days of bitter. Yeah.
Should have picked that song.
That would have been, yeah.
That would have been a good song.
I woke up with a strange tattoo. That'd probably be one of those times when you're just like, you know, I'm not really a fan of these.
Yeah, that's fair. Or you get a really bad one.
There has been some bad ones.
Yeah. And
please watch the spelling. Triple check that spelling.
Yeah, I could put a damper on the experience if you have a bad one. So I get that.
Especially if it's in a different language.
Be very careful really getting tattooed in a language you don't speak.
Exactly.
Very careful.
There's a lot of words that mean different things and sound the same.
Google Translate doesn't always work that well. Just
yeah, that's not the way to go.
Nah, not really.
Anyway, if I sound a little hoarsey, I've been battling with congestion, but they were saying that people with allergies have been having trouble. Our air quality's been a little bit kind of crappy. Crappy. Anyway, I enjoyed getting a tattoo, and we have a wonderful tattooer that I always go back to. He's like, as long as I'm your last, I'm like, buddy, you're my one and only.
Yeah, he's my favorite.
He's just so good. He's so good. And mine... I think the one thing, my pet peeve about tattoos is I really hate getting them redone over and over. That's just, because they're not cheap. So I like to do them once and not, I get it with touch-ups. Luckily for me, mine have aged really well and I haven't had any touch-ups except for other people's tattoos then are. Favorite fella.
Yeah. Our main tattooer, all of his work, I've never had to have touched up.
Yeah.
Ever.
Ever.
Like, he's just fantastic.
We were even looking at the color of, like the one that I posted for the opening of this one. I've had for years and years. That's one of my first ones that he did. And the blue in it is still brilliant. He was even saying, boy, that blue really looks good still. And I'm like, I know. And I even have his other tattoo that he did. It's it's my divorce tattoo. And it has a yellow key in it, like the key to my heart. So it has a heart and it's done in yellow. And then there's a red ribbon. That's in red, and usually reds and yellows, they fade, they don't stay, but they still look really good too. So there's blue in them too.
And your son will know. Do you have any much color? Oh, your Stray Cats. That one still
looks... That's not Brock.
No, but that one still, the color still looks pretty good.
Considering it's like a...
Your red's kind of getting...
11-year tattoo. It's always looked like that.
Yeah. I think it looks good, though, still. I guess I gave you good skin.
Yeah, thank you.
So what do you guys like out there? Tattoos? No tattoos? Do you think tattoos are okay in fashion land? I think they are. To me, fashion is art. The art of putting articles of clothing on yourself to look like a certain design or whatever. It's art, in my opinion. So why not put tattoos in fashion art? Body art, fashion art.
I think it's all the same, in my opinion.
It's an expression.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's all the same. One's just a little bit more permanent than the other.
Just a little.
Just a little bit. But I would say that they're pretty much the same. Yeah.
Well, I picked a word. I picked a word today. I picked a word and then words. So
let's go.
I was going to just do slang words. Just kind of slang tattoo words, but then it took us a while to do it, and I thought, oh, I better pick a word. So I ended up picking a word and words. So it was kind of everything. It's very it was long, drawn out.
Very wordy.
Yeah, what? Yeah, it's been crazy. So the word is pareidolia. Pareidolia. It's pareidolia. Pareidolia, and it's the imagined perception of a pattern or meaning where it does not actually exist, as in considering the moon to have human features. So.
Isn't that like personification?
Yeah. Yeah. So it's a Greek word from para meaning beside or beyond, and Eidos, which is images, appearance, and looks.
Hmm.
So I used it in a sentence. They keep seeing human faces on Mars, but it's clearly just a trick of the mind they call pareidolia. Pareidolia. So there you go. Pareidolia.
So pareidolia would be, it's seeing human features.
Seeing something that isn't really there.
Seeing something that isn't there, whereas personification is where you're like projecting human features onto something.
Okay, well, mentally, don't you? I guess it depends on your perception of. Do you see? Yes. You're seeing something that doesn't exist, but does everybody see that? Or is that your projection of something in your mind that you're projecting onto that inanimate object?
Yes.
See what I mean?
Yes.
I guess it depends on both. Your point of view.
Yes.
Wow, that was complicated. Pareidolia.
I'm very tired, so I apologize.
It is late, and I apologize. I've been moving slow, too. So you want to talk about tattoos a little bit, or you want to go right into a song?
It's up to you.
Let's talk tattoos.
Okay.
Tattoos! The word tattoo is derived from the Samoan tatau, meaning to strike.
Huh.
In 1769, Captain Cook, a British explorer, noted his observations about the indigenous Tahitian tribes sporting their cultural markings and was the first to use the word tattoo to describe them.
Wow.
The oldest tattoo in history found on human skin was on the body of Atsi. That's just the name. And he's a Tyrolean iceman.
Mm.
Archaeologists have discovered tools, let's see, in Portugal and Scandinavia that were probably used for tattooing. These are at least 12,000 years old and from the time of the last ice age.
Wow.
Ancient methods for tattoo removal
included the use of scum from the bottom of a chamber pot.
Delicious.
Mixed with very strong vinegar.
That sounds like that would feel fantastic.
Mm. Pigeon poop mixed with... pigeon poop?
Pigeon poop?
I bet you that's strong stuff.
But did the pigeon poop in his pants on purpose?
Inquiring minds want to know. That was the joke that her daughter always said.
Yeah, when she's like,
just walk out. The pigeon pooped in his pants on purpose.
That was the whole joke.
And then started laughing.
Yeah, that was the whole joke.
Okay, then. So pigeon poop mixed with vinegar and applied as a poultice for a long time was another popular solution. Can you imagine just leaving that on there a long time? I bet you it has to take a long time.
It's got to smell great.
Today, we use laser surgery, and the laser penetrates the skin and breaks up the tattoo pigments. That's why the pigments are carried away naturally by the body's immune system. Hmm, that's pretty crazy.
That was pretty crazy.
I figured, I don't know, if you're thinking of getting a tattoo to get it removed, don't do it. Get the lick 'em, stick 'ems, and then you can take a bath and wash them off. Do henna tattoos or something. I would never, unless, you know, like I said, it was a really, really messed up week. Maybe.
You never know.
I guess maybe that's a different song. I guess that's a different one. I'm not sure. Anyway.
It has been a very messed up week. Month.
Yeah. What is the name of that band?
I could not tell you. I'm not...
Chill Ray. Hot Chill Ray. Hot Chill Ray. The Greeks learned tattooing from the Persians, and they mainly used tattoos to mark slaves and criminals so they could be identified if they escaped. And the Romans learned from the Greeks and would tattoo F-U-G on the foreheads of slaves for fugitive. Have fug. Fuge.
It's lovely.
Fuge.
Excuse me.
The man who invented... Boy, I can't speak. Yikes. I need a new mouth. Okay. The man who invented the electric tattoo machine was by a guy by the name of Samuel O'Reilly. And it was in 1891 in New York. And he gained inspiration from Edison's electric pen and added needles and an ink reservoir to the design.
Pretty cool. So,
pretty clever. Your skin is pierced 50 to 3,000 times per minute by a tattoo machine. Most people don't realize when they're getting tattooed that it's not a single needle point perforating their skin. Tattooing needles utilize groupings of needle points, which are then pushed into the skin via a machine. And this results in the incredible number of skin punctures throughout the tattooing process.
Yeah.
Woo-wee.
I like getting stabbed.
It's fun. Tattoo ink is inserted into the second layer of skin. When you get a tattoo, the ink is injected directly into the second layer of skin, referred to as the dermis. The skin atop the dermis is called the epidermis and acts as a sheer veil over the top of the actual tattoo. And more women have tattoos than men in the U.S. 59% women, 41% of men.
Do you think it has to deal with the pain tolerance?
Probably.
Historically... women have a higher pain tolerance than men.
Most likely.
Mm.
And on the average, I don't even know if I wrote this in. I might have. But women generally tend to find men more attractive with tattoos than not.
I mean, I don't disagree with that statement.
And I don't know if I wrote that in my thing. I usually proofread, but... been, like I said, there's been gaps in it, so that's why.
It's been a minute.
It's been a minute. But I've been really excited about this one, because this is actually a topic I wanted to talk about long ago.
Long ago, so.
Yeah. Well, let's jump into a song. Let's stop right there. You want me to go first?
Don't matter.
You go first.
Okay. So my first pick of the day is a song that is appropriately titled Tattoos by Frank Turner. Tattoos by Frank Turner.
That's such a good song.
It's one of my favorites.
He was a lucky find for me. He was an opening act that I discovered in at Red Rocks. I want to say he opened for Flogging Molly. Anyway, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was. And I loved him. I thought he was fantastic. And I went and bought music right then. So I love discovering new bands when there's opening bands that are really killer and really good. And then you're just like, yeah. And Frank was that for me. So
I've never seen Frank live.
Oh, he's so good.
But he's really good. He's one of my favorites to listen to when you need something. Just a little positive, you know?
Yeah.
He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. What's your pick? I didn't realize. I had it hooked on there. And part of me says, you might not hook your pen on there. You might forget. And guess what?
You forgot.
Bingo.
Nice.
So my song, I picked Hope for the Future by Paul McCartney. This came out in 2016, and it's on the Pure McCartney album. And I picked this one because I've been followed by the Beatles this past week. I watched Help. I hadn't seen that in a long time. I loved it. I love it. I love singing along. I love their movies. I always love their movies. And of course, I grew up with them. And Paul was my girlfriend group. We picked our favorite Beatle, you know, just like we pick our idols, K-pop. I think it's a girl thing. Beatles, I don't know.
Bias.
I wonder if guys pick, you know, of course, there's usually just single girls. But I wonder if in K-pop, I bet you they have biases too.
Absolutely. They have their favorite football player and their favorite guitar player and stuff.
Yeah, same thing. Well, mine was always Paul, though I loved them all. That rhymes. Mine was always Paul, though I loved them all. Yes, that's true. But he's just been wonderful. And then I saw a picture of him hanging with Snoop Dogg, and those two hugging together made my day. So I picked Hope for the Future because we got to have hope for the future. It's important that I think music is fabulously healing. And there's something therapeutic about tattoos for me. Of course, it's an expression. I know a lot of people get tattoos when someone dies. Michaela has one. Her friend passed away.
Mm-hmm.
Young. Too young. Way too young. And it heals. Like, I got my divorce tattoo, and that was a really big pivotal moment for me. That helped a lot, actually. Just getting that out there. And I don't know. It was a really monumental moment for me to leave that situation. And yeah, and sealing it with a tattoo has been very therapeutic for me. So
yeah.
So Hope for the Future by Paul. Let's go. Hope for the Future by Paul McCartney. Sorry, I had a moment there. I was like, what was it called? Because I turned the page.
Yes.
Back to tattoos.
Tattoos.
According to a recent study in South Africa, people with tattoos are more likely to be considered extroverted than their non-tattooed counterparts. I believe that.
Mm-hmm.
If you have ink of your own, this study suggests that you may be more friendly, talkative, outgoing, affectionate, and fun-loving than a non-tattooed person. Well, isn't that the truth?
I am so fun.
We are fun-loving people. Fun. While it's clear that tattooed people span a wide array of personality types and traits, the findings suggest that those with tattoos are more prone to feel energized around other people.
I like people.
You feel energized by them.
Depends on the person.
Yeah.
Depends on the person. Some people are a little draining.
Well, I think people with tattoos tend to respond well when someone likes their tattoos, mm-hmm. too, no matter what. Like, there was a guy that I ran into at the Renaissance Festival, and he had the coolest Disney tattoos I had ever seen. Just brilliant artwork, brilliant. You know, Lilo and Stitch, he just had all different little stories. Fabulous. And I made a comment that I loved his tattoos, and he's like, "Ooh, you want to see some really cool ones?" And he was like showing me these awesome tattoos, right? And his girlfriend was just like, "Who is she? And get away from my dude," you know? And I'm just like, "Hey, I'm just admiring the tattoos." But I thought, you know, he knew probably in this situation that she was not going to like somebody, you know, but he's just so geeked out that I really liked his tattoos and they were fabulous. He was so proud of them. And I think it does. It makes you more extroverted. Mm-hmm. I think you are more friendly. And I noticed she had none.
Oh, there you go.
She was in shorts and stuff and she didn't have a one. Well, she did not like that. I'm like, you know, honey. No, but he just lit up, though, because somebody really liked what he had, and he was proud of him. And it makes me feel the same way if someone just like, "Hey, that's a really cool tattoo." Yeah, I don't get too many, but...
It's personal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So. If someone likes one of your tattoos, then they kind of like a piece of you.
It's kind of like fashion, too. Mm-hmm. I always get happy when someone likes what I'm wearing.
Me, too.
Usually shoes. I got some cool, pretty cool shoes. So usually my Galaxy Converse gets the most likes. What fashion do you have that gets the most likes?
Probably my hair because it changes.
Yeah, her hair looks so fabulous. Oh, what do you call that? Teal? It's like dark deep
teal, dark green
teal. It's got streaks of like black in it, or like really deep, deep dark. It's cool. I don't think I've ever seen you in that color.
Yeah, this is definitely a shade I've never done before. I've done green and I've done blue, but I've never done a shade like this.
It looks like a anime, like a really almost black and white kind of like Nyor or something. You know, it's just it's cool looking. It really is.
Yeah. So probably my hair. I get a lot of comments on my shoes too because I got cool shoes.
Yeah. Shoes. It's all about shoes. So Psychology Today reports that a recent study has concluded that people with tattoos are more likely to be experience seekers. This recent study has determined that people who choose to get tattooed tend to lean towards non-conforming lifestyles, enjoying adventures pertaining to the mind and senses, and preferring low-risk novel experiences. Is that true?
I like experiences. Yes,
I don't like to conform much, to tell you the truth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like going on adventures.
Yes. Recent studies find that tattooed people feel a stronger urge to separate themselves from the crowd. People who choose to get tattooed may feel a stronger need than most to claim their identity, and stand out from the crowd, using tattoos as a way to differentiate themselves and express their inner thoughts and personal attitudes.
Yes.
Yes, it is true.
Very, very true.
Yeah.
Very, very
true. I was thinking of the Shiny song, Identity.
I've been listening to a lot of Shiny lately.
Me too.
They've
been sounding good.
Because I've been attempting to start working out again. And they have some really good bops that help.
I like Keys solo stuff too.
I love Keys solo stuff. What else was I?
Oh, you know. Oh, and Hyuk is going into the military this week
from VIX.
But I've been listening to his solo stuff, and I really, really like that too. So, women are more likely to get their tattoos removed compared to men. When asked why, the common reasons were social stigma, pressure, and embarrassment, or a new job or career.
That's dumb.
40% of women decide to bring a friend or loved one along for their tattoo appointment, preferring to share the experience than with those close to them. And I was like, you know, I never really thought about bringing anybody with me. I always think it'd be boring for them. So
it would depend on the person, and it would depend on the tattoo shop. If it's a shop that I know where I'm going to spend a lot of time just visiting with the artist, then probably not. Mm-hmm. Or if I know the artist, why would I bring somebody? Or if I know it's going to be a really long appointment.
Yeah.
But if it's something quick, or if I'm getting something matching with somebody.
Yeah, like we all got, us three got matching tattoos. So, we did it all the same time. Yeah.
So, like, in that instance, it's fine. But, and I've had my friend come with me. But I'd say majority of the time, I just go by myself.
Of course, my Friday the 13th, Jenny and I went together. But we had separate tattooers do them.
Yeah.
And we went in separately. So we were together, but separate.
Majority of the time, I've just gone by myself.
Yeah. So, most popular tattoo motifs are said to be angels and hearts. I got a heart because I was like, I don't either, but I do. My divorce tattoo, it has a heart on the top of the key. Yeah. Keys.
I don't have any.
To all my keys, to all our keys. Keys. We love our keys. Tattoos can provide therapeutic relief for those with depression and anxiety. Well, no wonder I love them.
It is very therapeutic. It's kind of like it meditation.
It is for me. Like, I like the sound.
I love the sound.
The smell of it.
It smells just great.
Yeah. Well, and our great tattooer, Brockton Fowler. Yay! Parabrahma tattoo. And they're having a craft
thing. They're having a craft fair.
That's cool. That was off the beaten track.
But. Yes.
He's so interesting, so fascinating, a human. He's my favorite human.
Oh, I love him.
We adore you, bro. We do. He's so interesting to talk to. He is the best tattooer. He's fast. He's spot on. He's got the most steady hand and the best, like, bedside manner, I guess. I don't know how else to say that. But he is I wish all tattooers were like him. That's all. He's gentle. Mm-hmm. He's got a great eye. He sees things beyond what some artists see, if that makes any sense. Mm-hmm. He studies it at different, he sees the art. Like, I got a tattoo done that it wasn't his tattoo to begin with. But he is helping me to fix it because it's fading really bad. And I just love the way he interprets the photograph that it was taken from and everything. He's got a great eye for that. Mm. And so I asked him, he's been tattooing for 15 years, I think we said. And I asked him, is he bored with it? Is he tired of it? And he's like, no, I can't imagine myself doing anything else. And in our opinion, he's brilliant at it. So I thought to do something that you love to do every day and be so good at it, it must be very fulfilling. Mm-hmm. So, tattoo is one of the most commonly misspelled words of the English language.
It's so funny to me because it's not a long word.
It's not. Often spelled T-A-T-O-O. But we know it to be T-A-T-T-O. Tattoo.
Please make sure your tattoo is spelled correctly.
Yes.
Please.
Yes. Double check.
You better pick a second song.
Yes.
Yes. You better pick.
So,
song number two.
On the realm of tattoos, we're just going to keep going down there. I picked Buzz Buzz by the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
Okay.
One of my favorite songs is about tattoos.
Woo-hoo.
It's by Brian Setzer.
You can't go wrong there.
It's just all the goods. So this is Buzz Buzz by the Brian Setzer Orchestra. Buzz Buzz by the Brian Setzer Orchestra.
He's always good.
He's so fabulous. He's so fabulous. What's your song pick?
I picked Upside Down by Jack Johnson. And he made this song for the Curious George movie that came out in 2006. And I was going to pick this song last week for our bats, Upside Down. But it's a great song, and so I decided to pick it today.
Yes.
Because sometimes you feel a little bit upside down when you're getting a tattoo. Sometimes
you are upside down.
Sometimes you just a little are.
Yeah.
Or your head, the blood's rushing, and you're like, So, yeah. Who's to say what's impossible? Let's go. Upside Down by Jack Johnson. Upside Down by Jack Johnson. That's a good song.
It's just a nice little chill song.
It makes me want to watch Curious George, too, which I always love that little crazy monkey. So back to, let's see, we already did all that. We are on to tattoo slang. Slang. Slang some slang. Carving. As in carving out some fat lines. Kicking it into third means picking up the speed on the fill because they know you can handle it. It's like when they're filling in the tattoo. And sometimes you just don't want them to go over that same spot anymore.
One thing they always say, and I don't know if this is just like a placebo thing that they're trying to make you believe, but I'll have the artist do the outline and then they're like, oh man, the outline's done. That's the hardest part. Let's go into the shading. And I'm like, shading is worse. I don't find the outline bad at all. It's the shading that is like,
back and forth.
Yeah, the back and forth. Just wearing a hole in me. Like, yeah. That's what gets me. And they're always like, oh, the hard part's done. I'm like, is this placebo? Are you trying to convince me that this is the better part? I don't know.
I guess it just depends on which side of the gun you are.
I guess.
There's a word called tack, T-A-C, which means tack it on. And then tat, for those too lazy to spell the whole word.
Or they can't spell the whole word.
Or they can't. Irons, term of affection for the tattoo machine used by artists. Wrestler, one who faints and comes up fighting.
Oh, goodness.
And be back, the customer who says, I'm going to run to the ATM. I'll be back right at closing time and never returns. Ooh, I remember their face well.
One of my favorite things is to ask tattoo artists about their crazy client stories.
I bet you that's some of
my favorites. Yeah.
We were in one time. I don't know if it was Brock, but someone had a gal who she had to stop every 5 minutes. Oh, wait. I mean, it got like 2 little inches and then, I got to take a break. This is going to be a long
day.
It's going to be a long day for you, girl. So, yeah. Some people.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Everybody has different
pain tolerances. And I know my brother, my middle brother, doesn't have any tattoos. And he asked me, did it hurt? And I'm like, yeah, it really didn't.
For me, but, I don't think it's that bad. But
for him, it might hurt. I love this one. Cadaver. Customer who refuses to talk to the artist during the entire process.
It's a long time not to talk to somebody that you're very close with.
I had a tattoo guy that didn't talk to me at all through the entire tattoo. And that was so uncomfortable. It was a terrible tattoo parlor. Just the way it was set up was awful. Like the people waiting were right under the table that I was at, which is not okay.
Yeah.
Because everybody has their own smell, and you know, a lot of people smoke, and all I could breathe was like four people's scent the whole time. That was a bad experience. I should have went with Brock. See, that's what happened. I ended up going to someone else because I was impatient, and I learned a valuable lesson that day. So don't be impatient. Human larva, small children running around the tattoo shop.
I think that's hilarious.
But who would bring little kids? I don't know. I think most just they don't want the distraction.
Yeah.
And showcase, the customer who wears extensive amounts of a certain artist's work. Brock calls us billboards, which I thought was good. Good to you. And I am a proud billboard for him. So I don't mind that job at all.
I don't mind either.
Meet locals who frequent the tattoo shop and always have fresh piece that's still healing.
Yep.
Yeah. Meet. Tenderfoot, someone who's new to tattooing. And the Michelangelo, the customer who asks for Victory Red or Infantry Blue or Purple Passion and tells the artist where and how to shade.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And this one's good. Yo, man. Potential customer who walks in the studio saying, yo, man, I got $20. What can I get? Or, yo, man, I need a tattoo. What should I get?
If you're starting your conversation with either of those two things, just don't go.
And then there's dealers. Potential clients who like to wheel and deal on the price of their tattoo. And they try to bid the artist down like an auctioneer. Like, which I think is funny. Wire five up. Anyway, I thought that was clever. Closers. People who know you close at 10 p.m. and take your last customer at 9 p.m. but walk in at 9:30 expecting you to stay and do a three-hour piece.
Mm-hmm.
And the look, the tell-all smile when the customer first sees their new tattoo.
Yeah.
The look.
The look.
But sometimes your tattoo is kind of swollen, so you look at it and you're going, okay.
Okay.
I see it. I see it. And there's a, yeah, it's a little swollen. Oh, okay. Yeah, that's why it looks
lumpy.
It's a little wonky, but yeah. But yeah. But then when it heals, you're like, oh wow, this is so good.
Mm-hmm.
So, high fashion. Fashion? Should we go into fashion? Mm,
we'll do a little bit of fashion, then we'll go into the songs.
Okay. So what I did is just I tried to do like high fashion or elite fashion, I guess, through the decades. But it kind of just morphed into sort of whatever was popular. So
that's cool.
You know, it was not the easiest to find out, you know, what really high fashion was. But so in the 1900s, American women wore tailored blouses and skirts, popular fashion trend for women to wear while they rode their bikes. And corsets were worn underneath the blouses and skirts and underneath dresses, and were accompanied by lace collars and ruffles and ribbons. And most outfits were accompanied by wide-brimmed hats decorated with flowers and lace. And American men's fashion for the 1900s were three-piece suits consisting of a sack coat with matching waistcoat and trousers, or matching coat, waistcoat, and contrasting trousers, or contrasting waistcoat, and then the matching other parts. So, you know,
there's a lot of parts going on.
So they did have, they try and change it up. And they mostly wore top hats, bowler hats, and what's called Homburg hats that were these German hats. And they're softer than bowler hats. And also straw hats in the summer with flat top and colorful hat bands and a monocle.
Gotta like the monocle. You gotta have a monocle. Very important.
Bow ties. Bow ties are cool.
Bow ties are very cool.
And the cravats, the little neck band that they would put around, like, tie around their necks. And then in the 1920s, men wore pinstripe suits, which were often worn as part of a formal or business attire and were considered a symbol of wealth and success. High-waisted jackets, often worn with belts, top hats, and women often wore knee-length tubular, like day dresses, and the flapper style were knee-length. Skirts were popular, and men often wore knickerbockers with sweater vests. Sweater vests. And the zoot suits were popular. Mm-hmm. And then in the 30s, the popular fabric of the 30s was silk, satin, bias cut lamé, taffeta, net, velvet, lace, wool, tweed, flannel, corduroy, and chambray. And dress colors were the same as the 1920s, but with the addition of saturated pastel reds, emerald green, there's blue, orange, and mustard. Mustard. I don't like the color mustard colors. Kind of. Tweed suits, bias cut evening gowns in satin and silk, topped off by a cute beret or a tilted hat. And they were more ornate with bows, frills, and trims. Hmm. And then in the 1940s, the style moved away from the boyish and became more shapely styled. So women wore wedge silhouettes with high shoulders and narrow waists, often with peplum, which I didn't look it up, so I'm not sure what that is. And a single pleated A-line skirt. And clothes were made with a minimum of fabric, few pleats, no trim skirts, and were a little below the knee and straight worn with boxy jackets and broad padded shoulders. And many men and women wore uniforms for World War II. Mm-hmm. So. Do you want to pick a song?
Can we stop there? For it. Yes.
Stop there.
So, I had a lovely discovery yesterday. It was yesterday. And I don't know how it didn't reach my radar, but it didn't reach my radar, and I'm kind of upset about it, but it's fine because I found it now. But Karja from Finland, the rapper that I really, really like, came out with a new song like 2 months ago, and it didn't hit my radar.
Well, sometimes we just don't get it here.
It's also like foreign stuff.
We just don't.
We just don't get the memo over here. But it is such a good song. I was driving to work and I was like, you know what? I could use some Karja this morning, you know, a little pick me up. And this one came on and I'm like, oh, I haven't heard this one yet. And this happens with his music. Is I hear it and I'm just like, this is so good. Every time. So this song is called Ruska and it's by Karja and it has Erica Vickman on it. And it is so good. So I'm going to play. Ruska by Karja and Erica Vickman.
It's a catchy song.
It's so good. And her vocals are just incredible.
Yeah, she's got beautiful
voice. And I listened to some of her other music too. It's really, really good.
Yeah.
It's a good song. It's a jam. I love how he mixes different genres together so well. And he just makes fabulous music. He's such a wonderful person. So I was very excited. And I was slightly mad that it didn't hit my radar till 2 months later. But it's fine because I listened to it like 10 times yesterday.
You were not meant to find it till now.
It's a jam. It's a jam.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'll pick my last song.
Okay.
I picked You're So Fine by CN Blue.
Okay.
Off the Blumen LP in 2016. You're So Fine by CN Blue. Woo! They've been fun. They're a fun band. So I'm going to do a joke.
Okay.
What does the Easter Bunny like to plant in the garden?
Eggs.
Eggplants.
Oh.
That was close. You got the egg part right.
I'm not firing on all cylinders right now. Okay. So I got half of it.
Since I have 7 jokes, we'll do a couple more.
Okay.
Where do crayons go for spring break?
Where?
Colorado. Or Rado. Rado. It's however you want to say it. It's like tomato, tomata.
Correct.
Potato, patata. Colorado, Colorado.
Yes.
Yeah. We don't care.
No.
What is a grandma's favorite kind of cookie?
What?
Graham cracker cookies. Of course.
Of course.
So back to 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
Was casual yet formal and elegant. Shoulder lines became more softened. Corset waist became smaller. Boy, those corsets must have been hell. Try to get those smaller. Yeah. Rounded hips with long skirts became popular. The iconic gray felt poodle skirts emerged with white bobby socks and saddle shoes. That was a good look. Glamorous fashions was full skirts, petticoats, tight waistlines. Pearls. I love the pearls.
These, lots of pearls.
Hair accessories in cardigans.
Cardigans.
I love your cardigan. Men wore fitted suits with narrow ties and pompadours. Men wore accessories as well, like pocket watches and cat's eye glasses. Popular colors were pink, turquoise, mint green, pale yellow, and blue. What's it like? Big and blue. The 60s were tailored skirts, stiletto heels. Those are fun. And suits with short, boxy jackets and oversized buttons. Big old buttons. It always makes me think of the Borrowers. Remember their clothes? You know, the buttons are ginormous on there. Simple geometric dresses known as shifts were also in style. And men wore slim-fitting, single-breasted, continental-styled suits and skinny ties, like Sean Connery, you know, and the James Bond look was really hot, and the Rat Pack's Frank Sinatra. And they were made from gray flannel or mohair or shark skin. And also polo shirts, turtlenecks, spear point collars and tab collars, fabric color covered buttons, and crumbly overcoats were widely seen. And shoes were penny loafers, monk strap boot or shoes, and Oxfords. And in the 70s, denim truly developed. With Levi jeans became a hit with extremely tight waists.
Ugh. Yes.
Or really high, and I have like no waist, so I don't like the real high waist ones. Body suits were in vogue. Body suits. As layered styles prevailed, the pieces could be leotard style or full-length cat suits and were staples in the disco scene and were ease of movement, and that was key. There was hot pants and mini skirts, and colors were baby blue, yellow, mauve, and peach. Men's fashion were influenced by bright colors, textures, and like blue, neon yellow, and psychedelic patterns. And men's suits became less structured and more vibrant, featuring eye-catching patterns and bright colors. And then there was a rise in double-breasted jackets, which I always think look really cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then ordained with contrasting buttons and pocket flaps.
Love a good pocket flap. Mm-hmm.
And then the 80s, women wore puffy shoulders and power suits, flashy skirts, and spandex leggings. Bluer leg warmers. I remember leg warmers.
Oh, they're coming back. They're coming back.
I miss them.
Everything comes back.
Mm-hmm. Parachute pants. I told you about my parachute pants. I loved those things also coming so back. Much. Yeah, I could get me new parachute pants, but they don't breathe. Uh-uh. Big hair. We had big hair. Neon colors. Jelly shoes. Gaudy accessories. Men wore suits, shoulder pads, and bold colors. Power suits with shoulder pads to make you look broader and more powerful.
Power suits.
Power suits. And windbreakers, shirts, t-shirts were all tucked in. And then the 90s was slip dresses, bomber jackets, scrunchies, and plaid flannel shirts. High shine fabrics, satin, metallics, sequins, microfiber, vinyl, and silk. And the style among young women were short black slip dress worn over a tight undersized t-shirt, and men's striped sweaters, and leatherman jackets with slouch socks and sneakers, and denim was everywhere. Mm-hmm. And the 2000s was futuristic, metallic, sexy mesh tops, rectangular sunglasses with metal frames. And boxy skirts, leather skirts, rhinestones, or...
Lots of rhinestones. I remember so many rhinestones in the 2000s. Yes. Everything had rhinestones on
it. Yes. And embroidered low-rise jeans, yoga pants, thong underwear, and cowl neck tops, tube tops, denim jackets, bell sleeve shirts, and puffy jackets. Men wore bootcut jeans, wrapper clothing brands, sweatshirts, streaky hair, highlights, tucker hats, you name it, they had it. Metallic hues were everywhere. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Party clothes. And then 2010s was the grunge fashion. I'm sure you all know that pretty much. Edgy interest of denim, ripped jeans, ripped jackets. Tear it up. It's the tear up.
That's fun.
Yeah. Combat boots, biker boots, leather motorbike jackets, cycling shorts and sports bras, track suits and trainers. Tattoo designs made their first major appearance into the fashion in 1971 when Issey Miyake presented his tattoo collection. His now famous tattoo dresses and bodysuits were flesh-toned garments covered in a tattoo illustrative style that featured portraits of Janis Joplin and Jimi Hendrix. Hmm. Early 70s tattoos became more socially acceptable and not just criminals and social deviants. Today, many models have tattoos and the fashion industry is becoming more inclusive and diverse body art in recent years.
That's awesome.
Good to know. Yeah. And then I did slang words for fashion. There's jorts, which are jean shorts, mm-hmm. either purchased that way or made by cutting off the legs of a pair of denim pants.
I've done both.
Yeah. Jean shorts have been around since the 60s, but in the 90s, the word jorts were used as a way of mocking dorky jean shorts worn primarily by men. but Vogue has declared that jorts are in now. So.
I mean, I'm okay with it as long as you don't wear socks with sandals with your jorts. It's kind of bad.
There's jeggings, which is leggings and jeans, mm-hmm. are denim leggings that resemble tight jeans. That was in the late 2000s. There's MRS. In the early 2000s, bags carried by men got their own special name, yes. MRS. Man purse, yes. Also called The man bag.
It's a merce. I don't know why. It's a merce.
It's hilarious to me. That would make me laugh. Okay. There's the skort, blend of skirt and shorts, which just got one today.
Very inventive with these names, are they?
No. Inspired by bloomers worn under the dresses in the 1900s. Became popular in the 50s. Popular again, because you just got one today. Mm-hmm. Then there's the jerse, a jacket that becomes a purse. Invented in 2020 by a chemist, Brandy Long is her name. It includes pockets for essential items that don't need to be emptied during the transition from jacket to purse. You'd have to look it up.
No, okay.
A jerse. And then there's a shacket, a combo of skirt and jacket.
Oh, it's getting worse.
And then there's the shoe. Just wait, I gotta stop laughing so I can read.
Oh, goodness.
Then there's the shooty, a combo of booties and of a shoe. A shooty is shorter than a booty. Sure.
Sure.
They're like, and a booty is woman's boot having a short leg. Then there's glitten.
Oh my goodness.
A combo of gloves and mitten.
A glitten. It just keeps getting worse.
It has like the hood-like pouch that goes over your fingers that you can fold back. That usually has a little button on there or something. And then there's the shants, shorts and pants, zippered pants at the knee. We had the shants.
Didn't know that there was a name for it.
Shants, so yes. And then there's the treggings, a cross between trousers and leggings. Yes. And the pantaboot.
The pantaboot.
A pant boot combo. A pointy high heel boot that transitions seamlessly into a pair of skin tight pants.
Pantaboot.
Ask the Kardashians. They'd know all about it. Pantaboot.
Okay. Mm. Wow. Whew.
See, that didn't take me too long, did it? Okay, let's go back to jokes.
Okay.
What do you put in Santa's Easter basket?
Eggs.
Jolly beans.
Okay.
Yeah, I've done these jokes a couple weeks ago, so back when it was Easter. We're just going with
it. It's fine.
What does daylight savings and a rabbit have in common?
Short hair.
They both spring forward.
Oh, yes, that too.
Short hair.
I told you, not all the cylinders are firing right now.
Okay, I can see short hair. What's a leprechaun's favorite kind of music?
Dubstep.
Shamrock. Why was the eye doctor sent home from the party?
Because he couldn't see?
Because he was making a spectacle of himself.
Ah! Yep, that would do it.
That's all for jokes.
Okay.
So I'm watching now. I kind of stepped away from Kinect. But I'm watching. It's really cute. It's really lovely. It's a Chinese drama called Love Me, Love My Voice. And I really, really wanted to play one of the songs from the soundtrack of it because they have fabulous voices. But we couldn't get it to pull up, and it's all in Chinese, and we're not even sure, and we couldn't find it. So I'm just going to tell you guys to check out the music video. It's called Stand By You, and it is sung by, I don't know how to say this, I did not get to look it up, so I'll pretty much spell it, but it's Tan, G-N-C-C, it's Tan, and then J-I-A-N/C-I, and Zhao Yi. And they're both fabulous singers. So check that out. Check them out. They're really good. And it's long, so I'll be watching that for a little while. And then I'm also watching a K-drama called The Golden Spoon. And it stars Sung Jae from B2B.
Yay!
And Yan Woo, a former member of Momolin. So they're both really good. So that's all I got. And next week it would be a surprise.
Surprise!
The best kind of prize is a surprise.
True debt.
So that's all we got. So you guys take care. Mm-hmm. Please eat well. Get plenty of rest. Take your vitamins. Exercise if you get a chance.
Drink water.
And believe in yourself. You guys got this. We all, you know, we're all going through a bunch of crap. But together, we're always better. Always. Always we need each other desperately. So, you guys, we love you. Be safe. Take care, Keys. We love you. I'm Kim.
And I'm Michaela.
And we'll talk to you soon, hopefully.
Yep.
Next week.
Yeah.
Bye.
Bye.